Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Trevor Woods here from SB Nation's Maize and Brew. Just a couple days out from a night game, it's going to be the first start of JJ McCarthy's career. They'll be playing Hawaii. And with us today, a very special guest, somebody that JJ has known since he was in seventh grade. We're talking to Greg Holcomb, the founder of Next Level Athletics and JJ's private quarterbacks coach. How are we doing today, Greg?
We're great, Trevor. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Oh, doing absolutely great myself. I know I'll be in the press box on Saturday watching JJ perform, and I'm sure you're going to be there too, right?
I will, yeah. My whole family, actually, my wife and my two kids will all be going. So, you know, we do this a few times a year, and we're really looking forward to it. And obviously, because it's his first start, it's a special moment. So I don't think we were going to miss this for anything.
You've known JJ quite a while now, and it also seems like JJ has been a Michigan Wolverine for forever. Although he's a sophomore, you know, he's so hands-on in the recruiting process, and he was Go Blue all the way. But what's the journey been like for JJ? And you've had a first-hand look at it since seventh grade.
Yeah, it's been special. He certainly is more than just a kid that I train. His family, Jim and Megan, his mom and dad, have become very close to my wife and I and my kids. And so it's a special relationship that was started a handful of years ago. He was a really talented young man when I first met him that summer. And kudos to his work ethic and his drive and passion and just all the things that are unteachable. I mean, he's just a very hardworking kid that has the talent to back it up, and he's maximized that. So I'm really looking forward to this opportunity. He certainly has done all the right things to get to this spot, and I'm super pumped to see that happen on Saturday night.
Yeah, now you knew JJ before. He was a five-star prospect. Before all the accolades he got in high school, and he sure had a lot of them. I know you told a story a few years back of, I think JJ might have been around a freshman in high school at the time, and you found this drill you liked that Aaron Rodgers would do, and JJ, you had JJ doing the same drill, and you were like, man, was that one of them eye-opening moments for you with him?
Yeah, I mean, the way we train is I basically, it's not rocket science. I see guys at the highest level possible making, really incredible throws. Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes are still doing that right now. And so we just try to mimic those drills on the field. And, not every quarterback can execute them. There are some that struggle and some that have success. And then there's kids like JJ who it doesn't take him very many reps to have success in it. And, those are the special kids that come along every once in a while. We had this Aaron Rodgers throw where he would have this eject out move, and then he flipped his hips to set up, and then the middle linebacker was running straight at him, so he took off running horizontal to the line of scrimmage to his left and threw across his body into the back of the end zone. And so, we created a drill off that. And what's interesting is, JJ would send me some clips of him in practice off of his iPad, and there was one that he sent me where he has to hitch up in the pocket. He's on the right hash. He hitches up in the pocket, and he's backpedaling, not running, but he's backpedaling, and he's right at about the middle of the field, and AJ is running from the left to the right side. So JJ's backpedaling to the left, AJ's running to the right, and JJ hits him on the right side top of the numbers without stopping, hesitating, pausing. So he's throwing, as he's backpedaling, just a rope. And it's those kind of throws that are just, I mean, those are different. Like, you know, kids just, you know, they don't make those. The throw he made against Western Michigan, you don't roll out to the right and be at the, you know, on the numbers and throw across the field all the way. Most kids don't even have, I say kids because he's still a kid to me, but most guys don't have the courage to even attempt that throw, let alone have success with it. And he does. You know, I don't think there's that old cliche, he can make all the throws. I mean, he can make all the throws, and then he can make all the throws that most guys can't. Like, just athletic, movement trait, off platform, whatever adjective you want to attach to it, he can make them.
I'm glad you brought up his throw last season against Western Michigan. Definitely, he escaped pressure very well. Even did kind of a stiff arm to get out of the pocket, get out of trouble, and then obviously escaped to the boundary, fired a laser all the way to the other side of the field across his body to Dalen Baldwin for a touchdown. Hit him in stride. Absolutely, yeah. Amazing throw. And most of our listeners right now have seen it, but those who haven't, I encourage you to go to YouTube right now and look it up. But I'm glad you brought that up, because of throws like that that are so great, I feel that there's a little bit of a misconception about JJ, some things that just aren't true. One would be that, you know, plays like that, those type of ad-lib plays, backyard type throws, that's going to lead to turnovers. Well, here's my counter, Greg, and I think you'd completely agree with me. The proof's in the pudding. And JJ, his high school senior season at IMG, he threw for 16 touchdown passes. He didn't have one interception. Now, you know his time at Nazareth Academy, and you know all of his time at IMG as well. The plays that we're talking about, the Western Michigan play, those were kind of common, correct? And he wasn't careless with the football. Having guts, like you said, to have the courage to make those throws, that's one thing, and that's what JJ has. But you can be courageous. You can make gutsy throws without being reckless. Would you say that kind of who JJ is?
Yes, and I'm glad you used the word reckless, because that's exactly what I tell our quarterbacks. I tell them, we want to take risky throws. I mean, you know, conservative, what have you, type of throws are fine, but you've got to have some risk. And as long as you're not being reckless and you're taking some risks, you know, you're going to be putting yourself in a different kind of category in terms of, you know, your talent level. So he does. He takes some risk, but it's not a reckless type of environment that he's creating. It's, you know, I grew up in Wisconsin and watched Brett Favre. He also took a lot of risks, and at times he was a little bit reckless, and, you know, you kind of live and die with that. I don't think JJ is that at all. I can't remember exactly his stats as a sophomore when he first took over at Nazareth, but I want to say about 35 touchdowns and only 3 interceptions in his first year starting. So
I got it here for you. He threw for 3,448 yards as a sophomore, 39 touchdowns, just 4 interceptions. Now, if this was the NFL, the touchdown to interception ratio, that's Pro Bowl, All Pro, MVP, you know, type category. So yeah, exactly. even from a young age, yeah. That there you go.
Yeah, and you're talking about a 15-year-old, so turned 16 in January of that year, so a 15-year-old doing that at, you know, the third largest class of schools here in Illinois. We've got 8 classes, so I believe they were 6A, 8A is the biggest. So he didn't throw it against poor competition, threw it against very good competition, led his team to the state championship. They were also very talented, but, you know, if you watch some of his highlights that year, he had those wow factor throws where he just created opportunities, ran around, found guys open, and made plays. And that's what you're going to get with him. He's an exciting player, and he's going to, you know, probably have some moments where he might get some turnovers here and there, but that's part of the position. So, you know, but the off, I think, is going to massively outweigh the, you know, the risk part of it.
No, exactly. Payoff. It seemed to pay off last week when he came in. He was 4 for 4, looked real crisp throwing the ball. Jim Harbaugh was happy that JJ checked it down instead of heaving it when there was nothing there. Obviously, a few really great runs, one of which was a touchdown, 3 carries, 50 yards and all. JJ's speed, his ability to get to the boundaries, in my opinion, and I'm going to ask you here in a second, but in my opinion, this not only changes the running game for Michigan, because obviously defenders are worried if he's going to take the ball, if he's going to hand the ball off, or is it going to be a play action? It's going to help the running game. It's also going to change how defenses play Michigan overall. If man coverage, if a team's predominantly man coverage, well, good luck. If your backs are all turned to him, you at least better put a spy on him.
Right.
But there's just all these different variables because of JJ's speed that not only impacts the running game, but the passing game alike. Would you agree, and would you like to expound on that, if so?
Yeah, I mean, that's today's quarterback. I mean, Tom Brady and you know, Phillip Rivers aren't walking into the NFL anymore. It's just not. So you've got to be, first and foremost, probably one of the better athletes on the field, and then you have to be able to spin it. So you can't be behind schedule and get in a third and long situation and not be able to make throws to complete, you know, to move the chains. So he brings that element, and I think Cade's a fine quarterback, but he simply does not do that, you know. And JJ has the ability to completely change your offense, because you're right, you've got to account for him. He's a threat to run on every single play, you know, just like a Lamar Jackson or any of these guys that are super athletic in the NFL. And if, you know, if you don't, he's going to hurt you with his legs. I think, you know, you said misconception or something along those lines earlier. I think there's a misconception about the fact that he's such a great runner. Oh, he's such a great runner, such a great runner. The guy's arm is elite. I mean, his arm talent is incredibly special, and I just don't think the country has been able to see that quite yet, simply because of what happened last year and the situational you know, packages that he was brought in. So once he gets to show off that arm talent, you're going to see, I mean, I hate to use comparisons, but he has almost like the ability to have this Johnny Manziel type of impact in college football. You know, I mean, I just think he's going to just explode on the scene once you get to see just the incredible amount of tools in his toolbox. And right now, I think everybody's seen his legs and his escapability. I mean, the run that he had, you know, obviously last year in the Big Ten Championship where he ran down the right sidelines, everybody was going nuts about that. But, you know, I think his arm talent is just about to be put on display, which is really going to be special too.
Yeah, and I'm in your camp, as you already know, because Next Level Athletics has been kind enough to share some of my articles this week on McCarthy. But, yeah, he also has top-tier arm talent, top-tier arm strength, right? It's not just the RPMs that go off his arm. It's he threw a couple of nice balls with touch last week, too. And it's knowing when to throw it fast. It's knowing when to throttle it down. It's knowing when to throw it on a line, knowing when to throw it with arc. So with that said, do you think JJ has improved on that in this past season? Because, of course, you know, any level, and JJ kind of alluded to this week, that the past year's definitely been good for him, improve, you know, his footwork in the pocket and certain things. How do you think JJ's improved from his first day on campus to now?
Yeah, it's probably more some of the, you know, he's a very cerebral, intelligent, football smart, book smart, academic. He gets it done in the classroom, all those things. But, you know, when I saw some of the things that he was doing on Saturday, just in that limited time, you know, he's making, like you said, he's making check downs. He's just being really smart with the football. And I think that's probably where he's improved a lot. There's a lot of situations, especially when he was in high school. I mean, he would run around in circles, literally. Like, I mean, it was like, you know, I'm sure his head coach, Tim Rackey, was probably pulling his hair out at times. Because he would start to do those things rather than kind of stay in the pocket and just take a check down or, you know, go through his progressions. And I think that's probably the thing that he's worked on the most. I don't know that for a fact. It just seemed like he was doing that on Saturday. And I can imagine that that's, you know, a big part of his development and maturity, especially getting more comfortable in their offense too. But, you know, from an improvement standpoint, I mean, there's not a lot, I don't think, that he hasn't worked on continually. You know, he's never satisfied with where he's at. You know, as just a little side note, I sent him a text when I was watching the NFL draft, and I said, you know, I can't wait to see you up here in a few years. And he said, forget that, coach. I'm going to be walking up on stage to get a Super Bowl ring from Goodell instead of a hat from the draft. So, like, you know, that's how he's wired. Like, he's thinking, like, I'm not going to just be drafted. Like, I want to be up there winning a Super Bowl. So, you know, those are probably maturity things that I don't know if a normal 19-year-old probably has. And he's, you know, that's how he's wired. He's a... You know, he does a lot of self-meditation, and he's a very spiritual kid, so he'd rather take a blanket, I think, and go in the woods and sit down and meditate and just do some deep thought stuff than he would rather be, you know, doing anything else. He's not a go out and have a good time kind of kid. He's just, you know, he's more of an introvert, and you know, I think that's helped him to just kind of dial in and be ready for this opportunity too.
That's a great story you just told about the text you shared about the NFL draft and JJ saying, no, I want a Super Bowl ring from Goodell. Along the same lines, he's been so idealistic ever since Michigan fans came to know him around 16, 17 years of age. And he seems so idealistic as far as not once have I thought that, oh, McCarthy at some point is going to transfer. The whole time it's been, I'm destined to win a national championship at Michigan. And that's what's in his head. That's what fuels him. Jim Harbaugh calls him like a kid in the candy store. His attitude, always wanting to have fun. Obviously a big competitor, but you can be a big competitor and have the time of your life and absolute blast doing it. That's something that I've always found to be the case for JJ. You mentioned the meditation because JJ, if anybody ever goes to his Instagram, every single day he is posting philosophical quotes. It could be from it could be from Ralph Waldo Emerson, it could be from Alan Watts, it could be from Carl Sagan, it could be from Hindu scripture, from the Bible. Whatever JJ can do to channel some inner peace or enlightenment, I think that's rare for any human, whether they're 80 years of age or 19 years of age, you know, to dive into these books of old, really embrace it. Has that always been the case for JJ to where, like you said, even with what he has to improve, you don't see much he had to improve? You know, he's so well-rounded. Could you say the same thing about his mental demeanor, whether it's the meditative type mindset or just the infectious personality in which he attacks a football game?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like he's always kind of been like that. You know, he's never been, you've never had to worry about him putting himself in the wrong situation, you know, being at a party where underage drinking's going on or anything like that. He's just never, I don't think he had any kind of those tendencies. He's always just been hyper-focused, and I think he understood at a young age that he's got a special opportunity to do something really big in his life, whether it's playing football or something else. You know, he's just wired that way, that there's a big calling for him in the world in some way. You know, if he doesn't play football, he's going to be the CEO, or he's going to be, you know, he's going to be doing something on a grand scale. I just know it because of the way that he's wired and how he carries himself. He comes from a great background with an awesome family that, you know, is very much the same way. You know, Jim is a blue collar guy, hardworking, you know, has taught him, he and his wife have taught JJ that hard work pays off and all those things. But, you know, he always seems to have been pretty spiritual, and very, like, dialed into, like you said, like, you know, quotes. I know he reads a lot. You know, he dials into some Navy SEAL stuff that's way above, you know, anything I would have been doing as a 19-year-old. So I think all of those things just put him into the right mindset where when he is playing, almost never not a smile on his face. I mean, he truly is having fun. And I think because he's prepared himself mentally and physically so much that nothing really gets to be too big for him. So, you know, once I think you have that mindset, it's almost like you've played the game in your head ahead of time, and then once you play the game actually physically, it's just easier, and he just seems to have that kind of approach to playing this position, which is, you know, going to carry him a long way.
Yeah, it seems like his approach to life is the same way he approaches the position, so it's always good when those can be intertwined in a positive light. Last one for you here, and it's a schematic one. Now, when Jim Harbaugh was head coach with the San Francisco 49ers, Alex Smith led the 49ers the previous season to the NFC Championship game. The Niners lost in a heartbreaker. Following season, Smith went out, I believe, week 8-ish, and with an injury, insert Colin Kaepernick. Kaepernick, obviously, a different skill set than Alex Smith. 49ers started running, obviously, more read option and some more pistol formations on top of that. Now, my question to you is, now, some people say that, oh, you know, the Michigan playbook is going to pretty much remain the same principles if JJ becomes the starting quarterback. While I do agree with that, you know, even when Cade's in, it's the same plays, and he just doesn't pull it as much on some of these read options or RPOs. But me personally, and I just want to hear your opinion on it, is the 49ers, like I said, with Kaepernick, one thing that did change, not only the read option, is they ran some more of the pistol formation, a truncated version of the shotgun, a little closer to the line of scrimmage. The mesh point is a little hard to read because of the depth. I'm just curious if you think that, A, Michigan could run some of the pistol, and B, do you think it would be useful, or is there not really that much difference between the pistol?
Yeah, so interestingly enough, I'm a huge 49er fan, and obviously living in Chicago, I want to say it was a Thursday night game when Kaepernick got put in against the Bears, and I remember just watching this completely foreign dynamic offense in the NFL that had never really been run before, just absolutely shredding the Bears' defense. I remember Kaepernick coming up to the line of scrimmage. They'd have two plays called, or he would yell, roll it, roll it, roll it, to go with the first one, or he'd change it at the line of scrimmage to run the second one. And the Bears were completely caught off guard, and you could tell that they just were not ready for an athletic quarterback like Kaepernick. And it carried them, you know, very well through the season, and I believe the next. And I think the NFL started to figure out, like, okay, there's obviously, you know, a handful of ways to stop this or at least neutralize it, and so they started to do that. But I would guess that they would probably have some wrinkles to their existing offense. I think any good coach takes, you know, you can have your philosophy, you can have your playbook, you can have, like, this is what I'm going to live and die with, but I also think that the personnel that comes in and out of your program, you have to adapt and be able to modify a little bit, especially, you know, in a high school situation where you have no idea who's coming in each year. If you're just a, you know, a triple option guy, and all of a sudden you have a passing quarterback come into your program, how could you not open up your playbook a little bit more? So I think Michigan will probably run, you know, the offense that they've been running and having a lot of success with. They're deep at running back. They've got great skill players on the edge and in the slot. So, but I do think there'll be some wrinkles that'll be added in. And, you know, not to downplay Cade, but things that Cade doesn't do as well that JJ can do, that's just going to open up your offense a little bit more. So I expect them to be a little bit more explosive. You know, they just have the potential to, not necessarily put more points on the board, but just to be a little bit more of an explosive offense. And not that they're vanilla, or boring or basic, but, you know, if you're going to play the Georgias in the BCS semifinal, you're going to have to do some things that are going to open up your offense. And with JJ, you can certainly do that. And I think when he got in the game last year against them, you can kind of see that. And I have a strong feeling that offense will open up a little bit.
One other 49er memory you'll have is in the NFC Championship game with Kaepernick. They were on the road in Atlanta. They were down 17-0, and they stormed back. They won the game. And guess what formation they used a bunch of? The pistol. So if the coaching staff's listening, I want to see a little bit of the pistol this season with JJ in there. I just love how it looks at the very least. But
yeah, I think it's a great offense. It's just another wrinkle, and, you know, you can do some things off of it that you can do a little bit differently out of a traditional shotgun and certainly under center. So to me, the best offenses have a variety of formations, shifts, motions, but it's all the basic same plays. You know, you don't need a Cheesecake Factory menu type of playbook that's 8 inches thick. I think you need some of your base plays and then just to package them a little bit differently to make them look different than what they really are. And I think I see that in the Michigan offense too.
Yeah, there's definitely creativity, a lot of motion, and a quarterback's coach and co-offense coordinator, Matt Weiss, who had a lot of success with a running quarterback in Lamar Jackson when he was in Baltimore, so that's got to be exciting for JJ too.
I'm sure. There's no doubt.
All right, Greg, well, would you like to tell people where they can find you on Twitter?
Yeah, my Twitter is NXTLEVELATX, and then my personal one is QB, Coach HOLC Hulk, and you know, I'm on there for both of those. I appreciate the opportunity, and it's certainly been a pleasure to speak and to talk about JJ today, Trevor. Thanks, man.
Yeah, no, thank you as well, and I encourage all our listeners to give you a follow. You're always posting videos, highlights, some of the kids you train, and just things that catch your eye in the football sphere, you know, in the scouting world. So absolutely love the content you share on Twitter. But yeah, thanks for being on our show, and looking forward to seeing you on Saturday. So until then, this has been Trevor Woods. You can follow me on Twitter @WoodsFootball, and see you next time, folks.